there. It's Thursday night, and it is Social Geek Radio Night. And we're going to do things quite different tonight, but we're going to have a lot of fun. My co-host, AK Stout, is out having a great time. I think she's off at a baseball game or something like that. So we need to say hello to AK. Hey, AK. But in AK's place, we have the ever-famous traveler, BJ Emerson. Hey, BJ.
Hey, Deb. Hey, Deb. How's it going?
It's going great. Good to have you back. It's like good old times, the Deb and the BJ show for a little bit. And I see the chat board is lighting up already, and everybody's saying hello to BJ. So you were missed, but you have some fun things lined up for us tonight. It was thank you very much for accepting my invitation to co-host and find a great guest for us. So we're going to shake it up a little bit. What would you like to start talking about? Where you been? What have you been doing?
Yeah, it's good to be back, and thanks so much for inviting me to share and to bring just a great guest. I think that we're going to have here now. Aaron Strout is going to be our guest tonight. Now he is going to be signing on probably about midway through the hour here. So we are going to move things around, like you said, and probably do Geek It Out segments earlier rather than later. So we'll probably take the last half hour with Aaron, and but probably cue up the conversation a little bit and do some Geek It Out stuff. So, yeah, we should catch up just a little bit.
Sure.
Deb, it's been a while since I've been with you guys on the show. Lots of things, as always, going on, and I feel like I need to go back through my Facebook, feed or my Twitter feed or my Foursquare check-ins to remember where I have been and what I've been up to, which I actually like the new Twitter kind of photo gallery thing, the integration there with the TwitPic. So basically on Twitter now, where it has your pictures. Did you see that?
Yep.
And I'm trying to remember how to get to it. So I'm on Twitter. But I was just looking at it I was going back through a bunch of old pictures and just all the cool things that I've captured. But, I'm glad I have that because my memory is just really bad. So.
It was fun. I was watching TweetDeck one day, and I'm not on as much as I used to be. And I mentioned this last week that I'm on, and I see you popped up, and you had mentioned that you were going to go live. You were in Lake Tahoe, and you were going to go live any minute, and that we could watch. It's like, perfect opportunity. I had a break in my day. I was on TweetDeck, and I could see it. And then all of a sudden, BJ, you popped up on my screen. I could see you standing there on the stage. Doing your presentation,
really.
You were pacing a little bit. I was going to tell you, okay, at first you made me a little dizzy. You paced a little to the left,
yep.
And you paced a little to the right. But that's all right. That's how you present. And that was pretty cool. I got to be in Lake Tahoe, kind of.
Yeah, sort of. I'm thinking of just accepting live, feedback via text or whatever while I'm speaking, because I look at my video and it's just horrible, Deb. It's really, really bad. I'm looking at it. In hindsight, beside the pacing part, 80% of the time I have my hand in my pocket, which is like a no-no. Then I did not smile one time, Deb. Is that just not a tragedy?
I wasn't going to bring it up, but you didn't. You didn't do a whole lot of smiling, but your presentation was good. The content was perfect. You were right on cue, so I'm sure you had a wonderful audience. I could hear them. I forget, you had said you threw a joke in there.
There was a couple of jokes that they laughed at.
Yeah, they laughed. Yeah.
I'm a little dry. But, yeah, I just need to smile. And what I need is a smile shock collar. That's what I want. And so if I don't smile, I get shocked. That would be kind of fun, don't you think?
If I get to do the shocking, go for it. I'd say...
No, it would work automatically. If I frown, then, and then I'd have to smile. So that would make you smile all the time because you've got a shock collar on.
Yeah,
that's what I need to train myself. I actually had this coworker one time with this company I worked for, and she would constantly remind me and tell me, to smile. and it was actually very effective. And so I think of her, but I need to smile more. That's just the facts of life. So anyway, yeah, that was pretty cool. So Lake Tahoe, that was a mobile marketing summit with Chuck Martin, who we had on the show,
mm-hmm.
or you had on the show a couple
yep.
weeks ago with
yep.
his book, The Third Screen. And great guy. Got to meet him in person. We talked about his book a little bit there. Great resource. And we're going to be talking about another resource tonight, this location-based marketing for dummies. But right after Lake Tahoe, I don't know if you saw my check-ins the next day, Tuesday in L.A. Did you catch that?
I saw you got to go to the screening, the premiere. Yeah, BJ.
It was the red carpet premiere in Hollywood
yes.
for the movie that's coming out on the 26th, well, tomorrow. Well, I guess tonight, technically. And so it's Our Idiot Brother
mm-hmm.
was the movie. I got to go to that. And, of course, they had the red carpet. All the stars were there and a bunch of other people, these big producers and all this kind of thing. Harvey Weinstein, got to meet him. So let me back up. So Tasty Delight, there's three scenes in the movie that were shot at a Tasty Delight in our Columbus Circle, New York City location. And so there's three scenes in the movie, and we got to watch that. That was all really cool. Then we ended up going to the after party. So they invited us to the after party, and we're kind of like sponsors, right? Although we really didn't sponsor anything. We're just kind of part of the Weinstein brothers, the Weinstein Films reached out to us and invited us. Anyway, so you're at this after party, and there's all these stars, and you could just mingle around and talk to them and chat with them, get pictures and all that sort of thing. And there was others that weren't in the movie. There was others there as well. So we got to meet Paul Rudd, Elizabeth Banks, Zooey Deschanel was there, Rashida Jones, if you know her from The Office,
and other things.
Amy Poehler from Saturday Night Live and Parks and Recreation, and a guy named Adam Scott, bunch of actors, and we're just kind of milling around with them. It was quite cool at this rooftop bar, the Sky Bar, right there in Sunset Boulevard.
Wow.
So that was quite an experience. That wasn't on the bucket list, but I'm marking it off because that was really cool. And to see Tasty in the movie, and now it's going to be 2,500 theaters, opening tomorrow. Unfortunately, the weather over here is probably going to mess that up a little bit. So I'm over here in eastern North Carolina.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're getting ready for a some type of direct hit. Intensity at this point is questionable. And being from the East Coast, I've seen a bunch of these, have been part of probably three major ones in my time on the East Coast. And so we're a little bit inland, so not too bad. We're not right on the coast. So I think where we're at, power might go out. I'm not sure. We'll see.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Still scary stuff. Scary
yeah.
stuff.
So.
But yes, I saw that. I loved watching your tweet that, doing the red carpet wasn't on your bucket list, but you were crossing it off anyway. So pretty impressive.
Well, they invited us, and Bill, our chief marketing officer, and I went. So it was pretty cool. So we go up to Paul Rudd, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, hey, we just want to introduce ourselves. Congratulations, great job in the movie. We're from Tasty Delight. And he's like, oh, wow, you guys are from Tasty Delight? He grabs his wife and this other person that was with her. And he's like, honey, these guys are from Tasty Delight. And they're like, oh, my gosh, we love Tasty Delight. And they start talking about this Tasty Delight. They go to New York, which is where they live, and they take their son there and this and that. And so we were like, we thought, hey, that was pretty cool that, that was their response, to Tasty Delight, which I don't know why that surprises me at all because we get that a lot, which is kind of cool.
That is very cool. Yes, you were the celebrity.
No, it's the brand, carries its own weight, and we're just kind of going along with it, and the fans love the product, and we love the product. And in fact, Deb, I did something really bad tonight. I got to confess.
Uh-oh. You had someone else's?
How did you get?
Because we're talking about Taste of the Light, and you did something really bad. What else did you do? Oh, was it? Let me see. Okay, you're in North Carolina,
I don't have Tasty Delight where I live.
Right.
To be fair.
Right. Okay,
I tried to go to a Froyo place, one of these little Froyo places, and they're popping up everywhere. And you've seen them, self serve, whatever.
Right.
And you pile on the sugary toppings, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very syrupy, very saucy kind of, Anyway, so I had one, and my body just rejected it. I wanted to take my family out because we might be stuck in the house for a while here, and so we wanted to go out. Anyway, so that's my confession.
Oh, and you're going to pay for it later. But, yes, there's a lot of those places. Now, that's something that Tasty doesn't do, is doesn't, all these Minchies and Orange Leafs and Yoplait and whatever they might be. The big thing is making your own. So is Tasty thinking, by any chance, going to try to do that? Do you make your own?
Yeah, we already have some self-serve locations open.
Oh, I've not been to one of those. Oh.
Yeah, so the first one was in Vegas. There's several of them now.
Oh,
we have hybrids.
I forgot. I did hit the one in Vegas on the Strip. Yes, I did do my own.
Oh, so you
forgot.
Remember.
I forgot.
Yeah.
They would all open about a week. Yes. Okay.
So how about changing the subject?
Yes.
How about this whole thing about Facebook Places? You heard about that?
What, something's new that's going on with Facebook Places? What?
Well, they're basically discontinuing the whole check-in Facebook Places thing.
Yeah, by the time I got my iPhone and I decided I was going to check in, they're doing away with it. But that's all right. I'm a Foursquare lover. So, but I do need to ask you, and I will admit I don't know this, and is there a way to do a Google Plus check-in? I thought I saw you check in sometime via Google. How do you do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. So
how do you do it?
Great question. So what you do is you get there is a Google Plus app.
I have that.
And so I have that on my Droid.
Yeah.
And so I go into Google Plus, and right there within your stream, so you hit your stream there, but at the top there's a little check mark, and you hit check in. And it wants me to turn my GPS on there. But so it works off of Google Places, right? So every business is going to have a Google Place, just like they have a Foursquare venue. And then you can claim ownership of that Google Place. You just go to google.com/places. Okay, and that's where you manage. That's where you manage all your place pages, and those show up in the search engine results. In the local search, which is critical for a retail business. So that's what you want to do is, make sure that you claim your Google Place just like you would claim your Foursquare venue.
Right.
And, of course, I guess now you no longer have to claim your Facebook Place, which was kind of problematic from what I understand. I actually did it one time, but... it was a little sketchy. Anyway, Google Places is huge as far as search engine results go for retail businesses. So that's what you want to do. And, of course, once they started their check-in feature on these Google Places, then they started doing Google offers for checking in. So, incidentally, Tasty Delight was a nationwide launch partner with Google Place offers back earlier this year. And so, and then once the Google Plus app came out, it was all integrated within there on Android, which is totally cool. So I do check in on there periodically. I'm not sure how much of that is in the book that we'll be talking about tonight, the Location-Based Marketing for Dummies. But so I might as well jump into that. So a little bit of background. Aaron Strout and Mike Schneider, a.k.a. Schneider Mike, on Twitter. These guys are really sharp. I mean, these guys are veterans in the business and what they do. And these guys are just really, really sharp guys, just on the leading edge of innovation and strategy within social and mobile and location. And they, I don't know how they got hooked up with Wiley, the publisher, but they were, you know, they ended up writing location-based marketing for dummies. Once they, I guess a little while after they got the deal for the book, they approached me and to ask me if I wanted to provide the foreword for the book, and I was just totally blown away that they would consider me for the writing the foreword. But of course, I accepted and submitted something to them. So now, when you go on Amazon, it has it in there as me writing the foreword. So I provided that, and they provided me a well, prior to me writing the foreword, they gave me parts of the book to read, probably, I don't know, seemed like a dozen chapters or something like that. And so we wrote the foreword, provided it to them, and here we are a few months later, and the book is coming out here in the next couple weeks. I know some people already have advanced copies, and there's already reviews out there on the web, and I'm going to paste a link in the chat here to one of the reviews of the book. So thegadgetreporter.com, Jeff Cutler, and he has provided a review of the book. And it's a good review because it's a great book. And so if you've ever read any of the other Dummies books or any of the Idiots books, kind of falls along the same type of format. And but really, really great information. And these guys go into some really good detail. It's very educational, very practical. It covers all of the various, platforms and applications. And I really enjoyed reading the parts that I had early access to in order to write the foreword, of course. So just really good book. Really excited about helping them promote that. And kind of starts, we're doing some tonight. I know they've got a number of things coming up. Actually, Mike is speaking at an event here in September that I'll be at on the 14th in Chicago. He's doing a keynote, a day two keynote, at this thing called RAMP. I think it's a mobile conference of some sort in Chicago, and he's doing the day two keynote. So hopefully he'll have a bunch of books with him. And so we'll both be there together. I'm on two panels. He's doing the keynote. Should be a really interesting event. Actually got to meet both Mike and Aaron in person back in Boston some months ago at another conference. Just really great guys, really sharp, again, on the leading edge. And so I'm going to put in the chat room here, I'm going to put their Twitter handles here, and Schneider Mike, he put his last name first.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm following him. I know I'm following Adam both on Twitter and Google Plus, so I'll have to connect with Schneider Mike.
Yep, Schneider Mike, really cool guy out of Boston, really knowledgeable, works for a company called Allen & Gerritsen. And Aaron, I believe, has his own digital firm out in Austin.
Yep.
So probably going to see him if we're out at South by Southwest. Are you thinking about that this year?
Oh, it is definitely. Laurie and I, our good friend Laurie W., we're planning the Computer Explorers Conference, and we just happened to plan it after South by Southwest, so we don't interfere with that. Yes.
All right.
Definitely have to go. I mean, it's in Austin. It's a 2-hour car ride, maybe three. I mean,
oh, geez, that's.
I know.
That's nothing.
It's nothing. Hmm. We need
Yeah, so.
All the geeks should be there. We need to get Dana Lopez to fly in from Phoenix. He needs to be there.
Well, we've actually submitted. So the whole process of submitting a panel or a, you know, a session for South by Southwest, they have over 3,500 submissions or applications or for proposals this year for sessions and panels, right? And so they have a whole voting process of how they go about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've connected with Jack Munson of Gage One-to-One, and we've submitted a proposal. There's also a company that I'm working with out of Houston called Forthea. You know Forthea?
I don't. And I did see I did see that you were working with her. It's a she, right? Or
Jennifer, and then Chris Pappas is the guy there. And so they've submitted a proposal as well. And so, I'm getting some echo of my own voice. I thought that was somebody else talking to myself here. Anyway, so we'll see if either one of our proposals, you know, gets enough votes or gets accepted or whatever. Then we'll see. So that should be interesting. You know, that whole thing. But I have a bunch of other events that are starting to line up. So it's not like I don't have anything else to do.
Really? You get your real job and traveling here and there and everywhere. In fact, we will miss each other in Chicago. I leave Chicago on the 11th, and then you'll be flying in a few days after.
Yeah, on the 13th.
Yep.
Bummer. What are you doing in Chicago?
I am going to the writing seminar with AK on that Friday, whatever it is. September 9th or 8th or something like that. Yep. Yeah, AK is really writing her book, and I don't know how many chapters in she is. I just keep saying I'm going to write a book. So we're going to an all-day writing seminar. And
cool.
Yeah, so we're going to hang out in Chicago.
Very nice.
Have to have a tweet up. So yeah. So let's see. We've got some time yet before Aaron pops in, and it looks like – go ahead.
We'll hit the music there, and I'll do a.
Should I? That's what I was gonna see. Let's see what I want to do. Gotta hit. Ooh. Was that really loud, or is it just in my headset?
No, actually, it was kind of hello.
Oh man, it was blaring in my ears.
Your Skype session sounds really good.
Oh, good. Okay. So can I do this on my iPad, or do I have to go to these sites on my laptop?
Either one. No, you can do it on your iPad. Yeah,
cool.
So speaking of iPad, the first one I have is, and there's a couple of these apps, and maybe you've seen them. The first one is called iPhone Explorer.
Oh, okay. I don't know that one.
So I'm assuming it's iPhoneExplorer.com. It may not be, but if you put it in, so let's see, it's actually macroplant.com. So macroplant.com, and it looks like they got a bunch of different apps. And so I'm going to paste this into the chat room, macroplant.com, and the one I'm looking at is called iPhone Explorer. It's free. And it looks like they got some other cool iPhone type of things there as well. So the iPhone Explorer basically allows you to, I don't know if hacking into your iPhone, your iPad, it works for your iPad as well. Okay, so basically all you do is you install this freeware, and then on your PC or on your Mac, and then you take your sync cable from your computer to your iPad or your iPhone. I believe you have to have iTunes, a certain version, 9-something, installed, because somehow it works off of that. So whatever computer you have iTunes on that you hook up your iPhone and your iPad to, just install this iPhone Explorer, and then what it allows you to do is basically browse the file system of your iPad or iPhone.
Hmm.
Again, it's free. Now, I've seen a couple of these. This one actually let me, again, I'm going to use the word hack, but this one allows me to access this apps folder. Okay, so within my iPad, there's a media directory or component, and then there's an apps kind of directory, and within there I can see all of these different app, you know, I don't know if they're installation folders or what they are, and they just hold all kinds of different files and so forth. So there's a top secret thing I'm working on that I can't tell you about.
You just love doing that.
Well, if you look at some of the history of what we've done with the Tasty Light thing,
yeah, we can figure it out.
You can kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
So I'm working on a project that required me to use this, and so it allows me to take and put a bunch of files in a certain place on my iPad and basically browse, so I can copy and paste files from my Windows Explorer on my PC, the file system, and put them right over to this iPhone Explorer app. Now, again, I said there was two of them that I tried. I tried this one, and there was another one that was called iPhone Folders. That one only allowed me to like browse the media folder. For some reason, this one allows me to see the apps folder as well. And again, I can copy and paste things as I need them, because some applications that you use on your iPad, it may be advantageous for you to use local files on your iPad or your iPhone. So that's as far as I'll go with that. Anyway, so pretty cool little app. It's free. Seems to work okay. So something to try if you ever want to. Because you can, once you go into your media, you can see your, oops, something didn't work. You can see your books and your photos and all that sort of thing, and then you could just drop stuff in there. I suppose much like you could with iTunes, but it just gives you another level of control and visibility to those things. Okay, yep. So that's that. Are you watching for Aaron there in the?
I am. Eyes are glued. Yep. Keep going.
All right. So I'm going to just do one more. This is going to be very different than anything I've done before. And I'm going to go ahead and put it in the chat room. I ran across this today. I actually tweeted about it. Not that it's, real exciting. But, wait, what kind of geek it out is this?
You're not supposed to be reading the chat. You're supposed to be hosting the show. I was monitoring the chat and talking to Dana. You're okay.
What do you
keep
mean,
going.
What do you mean, okay,
because, you know, you just geeked out an iPad or an iPhone app. And you our loyal listener, number one loyal listener, online director, is an Android guy.
Really?
So
he gave me a skin for my iPad.
That's okay. He can do that. He also gave me skins for my laptop and my iPhone. But, so he's just a little bit annoyed with you. But I think that's okay. So, you know, geek it out now. And he has now forgiven us. So.
All right. So on to
Twitter.com.
On to this other thing. This other thing is not a tool or utility. It's just an interesting Twitter account that I found. Okay.
Oh.
And it's called Humble Brag. All right. And so basically, I just think the dynamic of this is interesting, because what this account is doing is basically retweeting people who are tweeting things with just completely false humility. And you read some of these things, and you're like, yeah, man, that's really not the way that you just said that.
Right.
Just came off really, and you can see some of these people, and some of them are celebrities. Okay, Pierce Morgan is on there. There's a couple others that went down and found some, and you read them, and you're just like, and Steve Martin, he said something, which didn't seem too bad, but you read some of them, and you're like, yeah, that's really not the. Not the right approach on Twitter, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm. Yeah, I see Steve Martin now. Huh.
Yeah. So I just thought it was interesting. I found that today and thought I'd share it. And I guess this is an example of what not to do, right?
Yeah, I don't want to.
Or how not to.
I like the icon of the gal sitting there with the
patting her
own back,
patting herself on the back. Yeah, so I don't know who Kat Dealey is. Some kind of actress, apparently, and maybe I'm clueless. But she says, "So I have to go to both Emmy Awards, two dresses."
Oh, I see that. Yeah. So let's see who she. Well, oh yeah, there's no bio there. I don't know who she is.
I don't know who Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, wait a minute. You know what? I see Aaron is on, so I'm going to open up his mic. Hold on.
Great.
Let's hope that this is Aaron that I've just opened the microphone for. Aaron, are you with us? This is Deb.
I am with you, Deb.
Hey, we got technology, and I have two geeks, and I've got two stars. What can I tell you? Hi, Aaron. It's nice to meet you live.
Nice to meet you as well.
Aaron, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime, BJ, especially. You're probably maybe not as excited, but close to as excited to see that there are pictures of the real live book out in the wild right now, at least all the influencer books that got sent out, and Mike got his batch of books tonight. So very exciting stuff. Yeah.
Yep. And I checked out that first review from
Jeff Cutler.
Jeff Cutler,
the guest book. Yep.
Yeah.
Great. Good review.
Yes. I was pleased with it.
Good. So you say they were influencer copies. Is that what you called them?
Yes. The folks that hopefully spread the good word and get people to buy them.
Right. Great. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to. I think we pre-ordered a bunch. Great to have you on tonight. And I think what I'd like to do. Perhaps, Deb, if you guys have an open evening for the show here, we could have Mike on another time, say in a few weeks.
Absolutely.
We catch both co-authors and get to talk about that. So Aaron, give us a little update on how things have been going for you and how are things looking so far with the book, maybe a little background. Again, thanks for joining us. And so we're eager to hear about how it's going so far.
Yeah, so far so good. I guess just to give my quick background, I've been doing online marketing for, I don't know, about 17 or 18 years, and recently, last 6 years, focused on social media marketing. I actually had one of my colleagues ask me tonight, like, how did you decide you ever wanted to write a book on location-based marketing? So I actually started using a service called BrightKite about 4 years ago, and there are people like Chris Brogan and Doug Haslam and Brian Person that were using it, and we would, geek out at conferences. I used it personally sort of for my photo blog because it was one of the first tools at the time where you could actually tag a venue, or you could check into a venue, and then every picture that you uploaded at that venue would tag it and associate it, kind of like Foursquare does. So, over the years, get on Foursquare in 2009, go all later that year. And as I played with these, I started to realize, I think there's some there. And I think, one of the first case studies I read was actually about you, BJ. You talk about the world coming full circle and what you guys were doing at Tasty Delight and thinking, this is definitely cool. And so last summer, Wiley asked me if I would be willing to submit a proposal, and I said I would if I could bring along a co-author, and Mike was the guy. And so I currently work at an agency called WCG, or a global communications firm, and they liked enough, the concept of what we were doing that they said, why don't you come on board? We'll make you the head of location-based marketing. So because every client isn't falling over themselves to, do million-dollar programs, I still do a little bit of social media strategy on the side, but we are getting more and more excitement and uptake from existing and new clients, people that really sort of, they see that there's something there, they don't know exactly what they're supposed to be doing, but they'd like some help, and so they're talking to, companies like ours or Mike's, and we're helping them think through the different logistics, and so it's exciting to see this stuff start to, go into practicality.
Great. Yeah, so it sounds like just a lot of opportunity there with businesses right now. And I think, as you know, we are just on the forefront of this thing. It's the tip of the iceberg as these businesses start seeing the opportunity and seeing the need and understanding you know, this really this opportunity. And I, again, I think it's just really early in the global perspective here as far as businesses go. Would you agree?
Yeah, I just, if this was a journey and you're on vacation, you know, the wheels, the front wheels of the plane would be touching down on the tarmac, you know, of a two-week vacation. So that's how early we are. I think people are starting to get a taste of this. Obviously, a lot of the early adopters, folks like ourselves, have been playing around with this for a few years. But I think as it starts to get a little more mainstream, which, by the way, that announcement the other day about Facebook Places going away or sort of going away as we know it, I think is actually okay, because one of the things that they're trying to do is take location from being a service and making it a feature, which, you know, they weren't ever very interested in doing the whole gaming gamification thing. And so I think giving people the ability to tag every update they make, pictures, past, present, future, I think is smart, right? And I think it can actually, they can do more and be more productive as a location oriented service by doing things like that versus trying to actually compete with the Foursquare.
Right. Right. Yeah, so that's interesting that, you know, which, and it's kind of as fast as things are moving in this space, and here you are trying to write a book, you know, on these things and then, you know, get it published quickly. And then before you get it published, boom, man, you got a whole bunch of content that's, you know, that has changed. So how did you do that, or how was that managed when you were trying to write the book as fast as things were changing on you?
Well, I love that question, BJ, and it is funny because Mike and I asked ourselves a couple times, I think, while we're doing this, are we crazy for doing this? And it's funny because I did an interview with Chris Brogan the other day. You know, he interviewed me, which was very sweet of him, of course, upon us asking, but he's writing a book now on Google Plus, right? So you want to talk about getting more up ahead of the curve. But the key is that Mike and I really tried to make this a marketing book, less about technology, right? So we talked about what are the ways that you can employ this technology to build loyalty, to spread word of mouth, to get people excited about deals, you know, and following the lead, like I said, of people like you, BJ, that have paved the way, but thinking about, you know, how do you get people to find the right sort of provider, create an offer, you know, reach out to their influencers, test, learn, and sort of optimize, and then operationalize. And because of the fact that we treated it that way, I think it worked out okay, and we didn't make too many wrong turns. I mean, World got acquired. They were one of the companies that we were thinking they were niche, but they might be up and coming. They got acquired by Groupon about three-quarters of the way through, so we were able to go back and kind of edit that down a little bit. And obviously, Facebook changing wrinkled things, but, you know, the good news is that we bet pretty hard on Foursquare, and fortunately, Foursquare seems like they've come out on the other side pretty well. So they were the ones all along, you know, Dennis Crowley and Naveen have been doing this for, you know, 10 years. They were Dodgeball back in 2001. So we figured they were kind of, you know, they sort of had their head in the right place, and they did enough of right things so that Google wanted to buy them. Google never really quite figured out what they wanted to do with them. But anyway, so we're proud of the fact that we kept it mostly intact, even if Facebook decided to throw us a little bit of a curveball.
Right. Right. No, and I was telling Deb before you got on the line there that I got to read, you know, obviously some of it that you provided in order to write the forward, and very, very well laid out, great, just great content, and very educational, but a lot of great, great detail as well in there. And I think a lot of businesses will benefit from reading the book. So you touched on something there, and this is something that I'm interested in. So when you look at a company that comes up with a concept like a Foursquare or even a Gowalla, and then what Facebook was trying to do, how much? And maybe you haven't heard this question before, and I apologize for springing it on you, but how much does culture in a company, in an organization, matter when you're looking at these platforms and you're saying, okay, is this thing going to survive? And you see someone like a Dennis and Naveen and what they're doing and the way that they're building it and the culture that they or you know, the foundation that they're laying with the culture that they have, how much does that play a part in the sustainability of a platform, do you think?
Well, I like the question because it is a question that gets asked a tremendous amount, and so I remember having a conversation with a client that was very excited about the whole concept of location, and we were talking to this person about GetGlue, we were talking to this person about Foursquare, and, you know, then as we get talking, the question came up, well, how many members do they have? And it's like, well, you know, a million or 10 million or whatever. So, you know, that's one side of the equation. I think you're asking more about the culture of the companies. I don't think people are that concerned. I mean, you'd be surprised. We're having conversations. Our agency, we deal a lot with consumer-based companies, but we also deal a lot with healthcare and pharma companies and financial services. And so we're dealing in regulated industries. And I think the people that are, you know, sort of paying attention to what's going on, they know that social is a little out there. They know that these cultures are a little wacky. They know that the founders are, you know, sometimes 25-year-old kids or however old Seth Priebatsch is, who's the CEO of Scavenger. You know, and I think that they get that this is all about a new part of openness. So the interesting thing is that the customers that we've had that have been having these conversations tend to be most interested in the scale versus the culture or, you know, what if people say things? Because a lot of them have gotten over the hump with Twitter. You know, they know that people say sort of what they're going to say on Twitter. They know what they're going to say on Facebook. You know, so it's interesting. But I think that what will help all of us, and it was kind of why I was wishing that Facebook would do more. It's why I wish Yelp would do more, because Yelp has, you know, brand name recognition and supposedly somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 million users. But they're not sort of reaching out and grabbing the brass ring there. And one last thing, I'll take a breath. I apologize for being long-winded, but there is a company called Local Response, which I'm liking a lot these days. I don't know if you've heard of them. But the thing that they do is they essentially take the check-ins from all of the check-in services. They scrape the API from Twitter and basically turn Twitter into one big location service. And then even smarter, they will then infer check-in. So, you know, I say I'm walking by the Transamerica building in San Francisco. They take that as a check-in, and then we'll push a message back out to me. And so it's kind of a clever way to get around that issue of scale and a clever way to get around that issue of, they know 200-plus million people have accounts on Twitter. You know, how many are active is questionable. But to me, that's really still the biggest issue. It has everything to do with scale and how many people can they reach.
Right. Right. So I'm wondering, and this is a little off of the book, and we'll go back to that, but I'm wondering, in your discussions that you're having with these businesses and they're looking at doing something, you know, hopefully innovative, and they, you know, I'm sure they call you up and say, well, we want to do something with social, and here's this location-based thing that we keep hearing about. But, you know, for us at Tasty Delight, we had the advantage of probably 2 or 3 years of some background and experience in these things and doing some of these things manually and really investing in these communities. And then we took the next step. And what I see a lot of businesses doing now are trying to jump in to where we're at without having done a lot of the, you know, getting a lot of the background and getting a lot of the experience or investing in the communities. In simple things and you know, Twitter and even on Facebook. So how do you, and first of all, the question is, do you see that a lot? And then second of all, if so, you know, what do you say to those companies that they want to do something innovative and, hey, we want to do something significant, but we don't have, you know, all this experience or we don't have all this investment, you know, they're relatively new, but they want to do something significant. What do you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, we do run into that. I think a lot of the companies are that way in general with social. You know, they're sort of trying to figure things out. And one of the things that I like, and one of the reasons why I joined WCG where I am now, is that we use analytics as the foundation of everything sort of to get started. And so, you know, if people are concerned about things, then one of the things that we will help them do is sort of start with some of the, well, what's going on, you know, and the nice thing is that there are some of these companies are starting to emerge in location, right? So you have Moment Feed, you have GeoToco, you have ValueVine, and so they're starting to provide a backbone so that people can go out and do some research. And then obviously you can go out and do your own work using listening tools like, you know, Radian and Sysmos, where even if you're scraping the Twitter feed, you can get quite a bit of the insight in terms of who's doing what because of the unique URLs that get pumped through. And, you know, if you're using Vitrue or Buddy Media, you can do the same thing with Facebook. So we try to make sure that we do create a strategy, right? And I think the smart companies will do that. We do have customers that are like, look, we're going to be at a conference and we want to do something very easy and transactional. And, you know, we try to coach it. That is like, look, this is a campaign. This is light. It's easy. You know, we're not going to get deep commitment, but, you know, let's make sure that the objectives that we're looking at are commensurate with that. So, you know, we try to right size. Like, you don't ever want to tell a client no, but wherever possible, we really do try to work to make sure that there is a strategy in place to set expectations that this is a marathon, not a sprint. You know, if you're doing Foursquare correctly or, you know, you're creating a holistic program like you guys have created Tasty Delight, that you do think through the long-term strategy. Can you tie it into your point-of-sale system? You know, can you tie it into your existing loyalty program so that it's not sort of a standalone? And then can you, you know, can and will you market this through some of your other channels? So, you know, it's still we still have a ways to go, but I think the good news is we are lucky to work with a lot of smart clients. And so a lot of them, they may not be where you guys are, which is, you know, 2 or 3 years out ahead of the pack, but they're at least trying to think about it strategically.
Right. Right. Interesting. Deb, I'm going to continue my line of questioning unless you have something
to... Oh, please. Nope.
Okay.
I'm taking notes and fascinated. So, yes, please go right ahead.
Hey, I didn't catch, and maybe I missed it, or maybe it wasn't just in the parts that I saw. Do you guys cover digital out of home at all in the book?
Give me a little deeper sort of color commentary around what specifically what you mean by that.
So digital out of home, which is these as it relates to location-based marketing, you of course know Asif Khan, Location-Based Marketing Association. Was he the president of that?
Yep. Yes.
And so so this new industry, not necessarily really new technology, I guess some of it is, this digital, what they call digital out of home, is now where you can bridge the gap between the virtual and the physical.
Right.
And now you're displaying in a physical display, like on a monitor, or in our case, we're doing it on these big, you know, brand wall displays. So in a retail location, how do you display all the virtual activity, you know, in the physical space so people can get the perspective that, ooh, look, here's the Foursquare mayor, and they just posted this on this big, you know, this big monitor. Now, I think about, you know, our Times Square location, right, where we're looking at doing some of this stuff, and many other places. And so there's one technology in particular that called Screenscape. Screenscape.net is the website. And so you can basically, it's a service you can sign up for and then put in all these different RSS feeds and the venue for Foursquare, and you can put in videos, all kinds of things. And this one screen, you can now display all this social and location-based content, you know, in the physical venue. So now you're bridging that gap between the virtual perspective, or you're bringing the virtual perspective into the physical venue so people can interact around that, and so more people are checking in. You're displaying your special, your check-in special there on Foursquare. You're seeing your Twitter feed go across the bottom, all kinds of different things that you can share. So I guess the question was any of that kind of covered in the book?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that we did talk about was there are ways to cross-promote, and we did talk a lot about the different ways. I don't think we get into that one, and actually now that you're telling me this, my interest has peaked, and I may hit you up after this podcast to find out more. I've had some of those conversations with Asif Khan, and, you know, was intrigued by it. I think part of the fine line that we had to walk is, some of that technology is, you know, continues to evolve, And right. So the things we tried to focus on were things that had been a little bit stabilized, right? So you asked about the question of how did you guys write the book in such an unstable environment? But we did, we did talk about ways to connect offline and online and ways to sort of take advantage of this, and particularly in ways to market this. But you've definitely piqued my interest, and I have seen some of those examples out there, but we definitely did not deep dive into that. I think the other thing, too, is if you remember, this is a dummies book, and while we know that there are a lot of non-dummies that will be reading it, we also, our editor encouraged us to, keep it real, keep it a little bit more down to earth. And I have a funny feeling if we tried to put that one in there, that may have felt a little bit much like, the 2.0 or the smart guys version.
No, I can see how it would be a little outside of the context or the scope of the book. I think the reason I brought it up is to kind of put it under the umbrella, which I found interesting, and I hadn't realized it because the first time I had heard it was from Asif Khan, and the whole, under the umbrella of the Location-Based Marketing Association, they have these digital out-of-home solutions providers and things like that. So that was the first I had heard of it. And so it's just something that we're kind of playing around with, which I think we're going to be seeing a lot more. And for retailers, I think, as you and I know, and even the whole Twitter back channel, there's all this virtual conversation going on around your physical venue, and people are talking, how do we bring that, how do we bridge the gap and bring that into the physical location so everyone gets the virtual perspective of what's happening and the conversation that's happening in the, on the internets, right? So, I just think that's something, just a real interesting tie-in now with all these different services. So something like Screenscape, you can just put that feed in there or put the Foursquare venue in there, and it's got a really slick-looking interface. You can loop videos within there and all kinds of, photos, put your Flickr feed in, any RSS feed that you want to put in there, and it'll just play that, configure it a bunch of different ways. It's very affordable, so something I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of in those types of solutions. So anyway, just thought I'd bring that up. Pretty neat
technology. I appreciate that. If you'd be so kind, I think I remember the name of it, but maybe you could shoot me an email because I have 100% better chance of remembering it that way. But that sounds great. The more we're big believers, the more you can connect offline to online and, traditional in place looking, the better chance of success you'll have.
Right. Great. Well, in the last 8 minutes or so here, what do you got coming up in the future? You got events or conferences? You got any things that you're shooting for South by Southwest? Tell us what's going on in the future here. What do you guys got planned for the book launch and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, the crazy thing is both Mike and I had a ton going on. We did Blog World Expo, and we did WOME, WOMA School of WOME, and I don't know, we probably each spoke at 8 or 10 different events. So I do have 4 or 5 things that are coming this fall. And I have one that's Exact Targets. It's a user conference that's coming up. And so I'm doing an author track there, which will be fun. I'm doing a driving sales. I'm keynoting there with Gary Vaynerchuk and Jason Falls. It's a huge industry event for the auto industry. So people who are, dealer owners, the car manufacturers themselves. And so I'm excited about that. I'm speaking up at NYU. I don't remember exactly what the name of that one is. But so some fun things lined up coming up soon. And then, yes, we, Mike and I, do have our name in the hat for a location-based marketing for dummies track at South by Southwest. And we would be both very excited if we could make that one happen. I think Mike did South by Southwest in sort of a less formal way last year, but he did his tech eye, and it was in the Pepsi Lounge, and actually probably did more than, anyone because he was doing daily interviews.
Right.
So, it would be exciting to, it's always a privilege to be able to speak at South by Southwest, and so hopefully we'll get a shot at doing that together this year.
Great. So one other question, as we wind up our time here, what's your take on now with Google Plus and do you see any traction with the check-ins? on Google for Google Places, and how they've how all that's kind of come together now. That on my, you know, my Droid, it's all integrated. I have my check-ins with my Google Plus app, and I can check in much easier now that I have that, and I'm using Google Plus. What's your take on the future of that?
I think the future is bright. I think the current state is still a little bit poor, considering, you know, Google is kind of the granddaddy of location. I mean, they're the ones that rolled out Maps, right? And we've been using Maps for, I don't know, at least 6 or 7 or 8 years on our computers, and at least 4 or 5 years on our mobile phones. And then they do have Places, and Places are ubiquitous, and they're, you know, very, very SEO friendly. So I've been surprised that the location-based element of Google Plus has been so crappy so far. However, I do see them getting that right, and I think that, you know, what I wonder is how much is it going to be like what Facebook is doing? Maybe how much is Facebook tacking because of the fact that they see what Google Plus might do in connecting all those dots? But I do feel like with all that data and with the fact that they do seem to be listening pretty well through Google Plus, and they do seem to be getting quite a bit of traction, especially with some of the influencers, which does matter, that I do see them becoming a player down the stretch. You know, Mike and I did not give them a ton of love. We did spend some time talking about Google Places because of the fact that as a business you should be paying attention to that, but less, you know, about Google having any kind of remarkable service that businesses should be engaging in like they might with a Gowalla or a Foursquare or Scavenger or Aware or one of those. So.
Right. Great. So tell us or tell everyone how they can get in touch with you on the various channels, and so that someone might be able to get in touch with you in the future.
Sure. The easiest way, and I mean this with zero ego at all, but I've done my good job creating content. If you Google me at Aaron Strout, you'll get most of my social channels there. I do Twitter out of Aaron Strout on Twitter. I do keep a few blogs, and Mike and I actually are going to be blogging out of, it's a long one, but Location-Based Marketing for Dummies, if you spellitout.com. There's a premature site up right now, but that will get more and more fleshed out over time. But I also blog at stroutmeister.com, which is my personal blog, and then I've been doing a lot of blogging recently in my work blog, which is blog.wcgworld.com. So I think I probably spammed your listeners enough with all the places. But I do try to put out good quality content, and I also do a weekly podcast show with like this on Blog Talk Radio with my friend Cal Hardy called the Quick and Dirty Podcast, and we do talk a lot about location-based services and technologies and social there. So hopefully that's enough to whet everybody's appetite.
Well, and Aaron, you're on Google Plus, and you threw out a really great picture today that you took in Austin.
Oh,
which
you
and I'm in Houston, so we both know how little rain we've gotten lately. But that was really, I really like that picture. I think I want to do something with it.
Well, you know what's funny, Deb, is that I took that picture. I went out because someone said, look, it's raining out. And for anyone that's not aware, Dallas,
right.
All of Texas is in the second worst drought in history.
Yeah.
And so knowing that it was raining out, I was like, I'm going to go out and let the water hit my face. And as I was out there, I'm thinking, what's a good way that I can capture this? It's hard to capture raindrops.
Yeah.
And so I saw this woman walk by me with an umbrella, and it's sort of hard to tell. But I caught her just as she was walking down the street, and for whatever reason, the light was just right. And then I did put a little bit of a filter on it on Instagram. And you're right, it really came out. I was surprised that.
It
sort of how
great.
Cool it came out. So
it was good. Well, thank you. And gentlemen, the operator is yelling in our ear that we're going to have to hang up here soon. I thank you both very much for being with us. BJ, always, it's great to have you as a co-host. And Aaron, it was really nice to meet you because I do follow you in all those locations. So you put out wonderful content and keep it up.
Well, thank you so much. And it's nice to finally connect with you in the voice channel, Deb.
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, BJ... Until next time.
So look for the book here coming out. The next week or two, next couple weeks, Aaron.
Yeah, you can order it. People have got it in their hands, and so it should be shipping any day now.
Great. Location-based marketing for dummies. We'll look for that.
Very good.
All right.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks everyone.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right. Bye.